The following is a seminar entitled Modern Civilization versus Model Civilization, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on December 27th, 2012, in Melbourne, Australia.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama
Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare.
Thank you very much. It was so enlivening to hear them. So tonight we're reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 4, text number 15. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Evam gyatva kritam karma.
Evam gyatva kritam karma.
Purvair api mumukshubi.
Purvair api mumukshubi.
Kuru karmai vatasmatvam. Purvai purvataram kritam. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. All the liberated souls in ancient times acted with this understanding of my transcendental nature. Therefore, you should perform your duty following in their footsteps. Purport. There are two classes of men. Some of them are full of polluted material things within their hearts, and some of them are materially free. Krishna consciousness is equally beneficial for both of these persons. Those who are full of dirty things can take to the line of Krishna consciousness for a gradual cleansing process following the regulative principles of devotional service. Those who are already cleansed of the impurities may continue to act in the same Krishna consciousness so that others may follow their exemplary activities and thereby be benefited. Foolish persons, or neophytes in Krishna consciousness, often want to retire from activities without having knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Arjuna's desire to retire from activities on the battlefield was not approved by the Lord. One need only know how to act to retire from the activities of Krishna consciousness and to sit aloof, making a show of Krishna consciousness, is less important than actually engaging in the field of activities for the sake of Krishna. Arjuna is here advised to act in Krishna consciousness, following in the footsteps of the Lord's previous disciples, such as the sun god Vivishvan, as mentioned herein before. The Supreme Lord knows all his past activities, as well as those of persons who acted in Krishna consciousness in the past. Therefore, he recommends the acts of the sun god, who learned this art from the Lord some millions of years before. All such students of Lord Krishna are mentioned here as past liberated persons engaged in the discharge of duties allotted by Krishna. Vandeham Sri Guru. Shri Jatha Parakamala Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Sha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschadya Nishatarine. So this is ancient times. In the ancient time, Krishna said, those in the ancient times. So that's ancient times. So this process of Krishna consciousness is not some new invention. Actually, this is the very nature of the self, to serve Krishna. How long have fish been swimming in the water? Is that some new invention? That fish now swim in the water? No. Fish have always swum in the water because that is their nature. They are creatures of the water. In Sanskrit they are called Jalaja, those who were born in the water. So, just as fish are naturally meant to swim in the water, so the living entity is meant to swim in the ocean of Krishna Prema. In other words, if we are not Krishna conscious, we are fish out of the water. This is actually confirmed by Srimati Radharani, our mother Radharani. She says, Mana mara vamadina jalavina yena mina Krishna vija chane mare yaya Madura hashavadane mana netra sayane Krishna trishna dviguna vadaya. She says, when my impoverished mind does not think of Krishna, then it dies immediately just like a fish out of the water. But when I remember Krishna's sweetly smiling face, my mind and my eyes are so pleased that my Krishna Trishna, my thirst for Krishna, immediately doubles. So this is the natural state, you see. Radharani is teaching us. This is the natural state, not only for Radharani, for all of us. Our natural state is to be absorbed in Krishna Smaranam, remembering Krishna. Otherwise, it's jalavina yena mina, like a fish out of the water. If we forget Krishna, I don't care how much money you have, I don't care how much power you have, I don't care how good looking you may be, or how intelligent you may be, whatever. Even if you're Brahmanji, the chief demigod of this entire material world, if you are not Krishna conscious, you are simply a fish out of the water. That's it. So, Krishna is teaching us fish who are out of the water at the present time how to get back into the water. It's up to us. We can stay on the dry land trying to artificially enjoy with money, power, prestige, etc., 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 etc. Or we can take the mercy of the spiritual master who picks us up and tosses us back in the water. The trouble is, sometimes the fish, when you pick them up, they throw them back in the water, he wriggles out of your hand and you can't get him back in the water. You see what I'm saying? So don't wriggle. The moral of the story is, when the spiritual master picks you up to throw you back in the water, don't wriggle out of his hands. Be submissive. All right, you're going to throw me back in the water? Okay, I accept it. I'm not going to fight it. You want to throw me in the water? Okay, I'm ready. Toss me back in the ocean of Krishna Bhakti. I'm ready to go, you see. That's why submissive hearing from the spiritual master is of the utmost importance. If you hear, you go, well, I don't know, maybe. If you find fault with the spiritual master, well, he doesn't really know what he's talking about, or was he born a Hindu? You see? If you bring in all these material considerations, you're just like a fish squirming out of the hands. You see what I'm saying? One should just say, okay, this is the message coming from Srila Prabhupada. This is the message coming from this great line of acharyas. Even there was a line of acharyas before Arjuna heard. This is what the liberated souls, even in the ancient times, have done. This is not some new concocted thing. This process of Krishna Bhakti is proven more than anything else in the history of the universe. It is the most scientific, it is the most authorized, it is the most genuine, it is the most potent, it is the most powerful system for getting free of all suffering, all anxiety, all confusion, all delusion, all bewilderment, all problems of life. All problems of life, so you see. Do you want to continue suffering in this material world? How do you like it? Do you enjoy getting old? How about getting sick? Would you like some cancer today? How would you like to hear if you can't? The doctor says, today I have to tell you, you have terminal, inoperable, incurable cancer. Would you like to hear that? This material world means we have to deal with these things, you see. So, this is not natural. The actual self is not meant to get sick, not meant to get old, not meant to die, but because we are foolishly trying to imitate Krishna, we have put ourselves into this position of misidentification with the material energy. You understand this point? Because we are foolishly trying to imitate Krishna's position as the supreme enjoyer, we are usurpers. We're trying to usurp the position of Krishna. Therefore, we find ourselves in this prison of material existence. What's the proof? Your prison uniform is the proof. Your prison uniform, you may say? What do you mean, prison uniform? Yes, these material bodies are our prison uniform. Did you know that? You're an inmate in the cycle of birth and death. Each lifetime is a cell. There's many different, 8,400,000 different types of prison cells in this prison. And one simply goes from one cell to another cell within the prison, you see. But if you take advantage of the mercy of Guru and the mercy of Krishna, you can be released from the prison. No longer to suffer birth, death, old age, and disease. That is the great power of Krishna Bhakti. This is beyond even what the yogis achieve. This is beyond what the jnanis achieve. The jnanis can go on speculating for thousands and millions of years through the process of elimination of the mundane and still not achieve this perfection. Thousands and millions of years of mental speculation are the yogis who are practicing pranayama by drilling the respiration. They can go on for thousands and millions of years with this process and still not achieve this Krishna consciousness. So if you had the opportunity to hear from the bona fide spiritual master, if you had the opportunity to hear the bona fide message of the Bhagavad Gita, you are in the most fortunate position of any living entity in this entire universe. I'm not bluffing. This is a fact. Anyone who comes in contact with the bona fide teachings of Krishna is more fortunate than the demigods. He has a wealth greater than Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigods. That person who is hearing the message of Krishna from the bona fide spiritual master. And who is the bona fide spiritual master? The bona fide spiritual master is that personality who is not concocting anything. He's not adding his own 2 cents worth or 2 paisa worth or subtracting anything. He's simply the messenger for his spiritual master, who is the messenger for his spiritual master. The messenger doesn't change the message. If he does, he's not a messenger, he's a cheater. He simply delivers the message as it is from his master. That is the messenger. So I've been asked to speak tonight on modern civilization versus model civilization. What is the difference? The difference is a civilization which is based on God is a model civilization. And the modern civilization is not based on God, you see. Therefore, we have so many problems. The modern civilization is based on economic development and sense gratification, you see. The economy has to always be expanding. That's the idea, you see. The leaders don't actually know how to govern. That's a big, big problem. They have no idea what they're doing. They just want to keep their position. They like the money, the power, and the prestige of their positions. And they do whatever they can to stay in power. They don't have any idea what is beneficial for themselves or what is beneficial for the citizens. And therefore, these leaders, the result is they are creating more and more of a hell on earth. With each passing year, the atmosphere, have you noticed? I've noticed, I grew up in the 50s. And I've noticed it is becoming, every year is becoming more and more of a hell on this planet. Because the leaders don't know how to hear from a bona fide spiritual master. All they want to know is, how can I stay in power? That's all they care about. That's the only thing they care about. They have no idea what is beneficial for the citizens. Therefore, people are suffering like anything. Mother Bhumi, the goddess of the earth, is weeping. She's being overburdened with so much sinful activity. So many cows are being slaughtered. Every year in the U.S., 1.4 million babies are murdered. And the politicians say, we're in favor of it. Abortion. They cry when 20 children are shot dead. That's very bad. Obama will shed tears when 20 children are shot. But he says, but I approve the 1.4 million that are killed on purpose every year, the government authorization. And they call this government? This is insanity. You make a big show of crying on the television about 20 kids. What about the 1.4 million that you authorize to be murdered every year, Mr. President? You understand? What kind of demoniac, insane culture? We just came from Mauritius. And Mauritius has decided to be a progressive nation. For all these years of their history, abortion has always been illegal, but now they are keeping up with us wonderful countries. And they've just now legalized abortion there as well. You see. So this is the kind of atmosphere we have on this planet. We have baby killers, cow killers, who are running the countries. No wonder nobody's happy. Do you realize the karma that's coming from killing 1.4 million babies every year in the U.S.? What kind of karma that has on the karmic effect it has on the country and all the other countries that are killing babies? What kind of karmic reaction you get for murdering babies? It's heavy, heavy, heavy karma. You can't expect happiness in a culture that kills the cow, that kills the little children. You can't expect any happiness or anything good to come out of such a culture, except more and more chaos. That's all. But there's one hope, and that is Krishna consciousness movement. This is the one hope for the world to become happy. This Krishna consciousness movement. We are, by the mercy of Prabhupada, we have the knowledge, we have the potency to lead this entire planet out of chaos. If they will only come and read Prabhupada's books, if they will only come and hear, we can solve every single problem of every single man, woman, and child on the face of this planet. We can create the model civilization, Ishavasham, the God-centered civilization. You may say, but there are people that are religious. I mean, there even so many people go to church, the synagogue, the mosque. They say, well, there's so many problems from religion nowadays. In the name of Allah, they're killing people. You see. But that is not real religion. To use religion for one's political motive, that is not religion. That is cheating. That is not real religion. One who is actually religious, he becomes saintly. If you love God, you must love all of God's children. You understand? You say, I love God, but I hate people who don't belong to my religion and I want to kill them. That's not love of God. That's just politics. That's all it is. It's just dirty, rotten politics. If you actually love God, you will love all of your brothers and sisters because we're all the children of God. There's only one Supreme Being. Whether you call Him Allah, Krishna, whatever Jehovah, whatever you call, we are all brothers and sisters. If you truly love God, you will love all living entities, including the cow also, who gives the milk. You see. Your mother, she gives her breast milk. And when she stops giving breast milk, then you get the milk from the cow. So the cow is also your mother. She is your second mother. Would you think of killing your first mother when her breast milk stops coming? So why are you killing your second mother when her breast milk stops coming, you see? This is demoniac civilization. So this is the utmost necessity for creating the model civilization. Out of this demoniac so-called modern civilization, we must now educate them in the values of Krishna consciousness so that people can become happy. The Vaishnava cannot tolerate to see people in a suffering condition because he loves everyone. He doesn't matter what color your skin is, what is your gender. The Vaishnava loves everyone because he sees everyone as part and parcel of Krishna. Everyone. the animals, the plants, the human beings. He sees everyone as the part and parcel of Krishna. Therefore, the Vaishnava wants that everyone should become happy. Therefore, he dedicates his whole life for awakening the Krishna consciousness in the hearts of all. Because he wants everyone to be happy. So kindly try to understand what is this Krishna consciousness process. Kindly mold your life around Krishna. This is our humble request to you all. Don't waste your energy in unnecessary sense gratification. Whatever you need to be healthy, that's all right. Whatever eating, sleeping, mating, and defending is required for good health, that's all right. That is your quota. That is your allotted quota. There's some papers coming around. Please write questions because we're going to be having questions here in about 3 minutes. Get ready with your. I'm ready for your questions. So kindly don't overindulge your senses. Take what you need to be healthy so that the balanced energy can be utilized for awakening your dormant loving relationship with Krishna. Your human life is meant for self-realization. It is not meant for sense gratification. Animals have only sense gratification as their business, you see. If we have only sense gratification as our business, we are simply in the position of animals. Therefore, the Vedic wisdom calls such a human being who is engaged in sense gratification, dvipada pashu, two-legged animal. And when he gets old, what is he called? Tripada pashu, because he's using cane. So don't be dvipada, tripada pashu. Two-legged, three-legged animal. Don't waste your human life, please. I'm begging you, do not waste your human life like that. Use your human life to become spiritually awakened. Chant the holy names of the Lord every day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Before you eat, offer your vegetarian food to Krishna. No meat, no fish, no eggs. He won't accept those things. But offer your vegetarian food to Krishna before you eat. So the mouth has two functions, speaking and eating, isn't it? So if you will... If you have only Krishna coming out and only Krishna going in, by this process of properly engaging the tongue, by vibrating Hare Krishna and tasting prasad, by this activity of properly engaging the tongue, you will become spiritually awakened. You don't have to be a great yogi, you don't have to do pranayama, you don't have to go to the Himalayas, you don't have to do great sacrificial offerings, you don't have to become a great scholar of the Vedanta Sutra. All you have to do is chant Hare Krishna and take prasadam. Even a child can do this. So please, regularly chant Hare Krishna and regularly take Krishna prasadam. And by this activity, gradually, 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 you'll become a self-realized sage. As a householder, as a brahmachari, as a politician, as a cowherd boy, whatever your occupation is, a cook, a dishwasher, an IT specialist, whatever your position is, if you will chant Hare Krishna and you will take prasadam, you'll become spiritually perfect and you'll be the greatest citizen in this country to bring happiness back to this country. So now I can have some questions. How can I overcome my me consciousness? Well, you can't kill the self. That is artificial. The Mayavadis want to say, let me annihilate myself. The voidists say, I have no self to annihilate. The self is completely false. There is no self. Nothing exists. There is nothing, and that's the only reality. These are artificial philosophies. Me consciousness means to think I am the center. Everything revolves around me. Me-centricism. So don't be me-centric, be Krishna-centric. to understand I am the eternal servant of Krishna. The I is still there, but the I is properly situated as subordinate to Krishna. That's what you have to say. Not that I don't exist, or I am the I am. No, some idea of merging into the oneness of I am. No, that's not proper. I am the eternal servant of Krishna. How can I increase my trust, faith, and my chanting? You simply have to remember that Krishna is absolute. The name of Krishna and Krishna are one and the same. When you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna is personally coming to bless you with his association. How can I be in the mood of serving devotees? As I said, I am too much into me consciousness. Well, you should realize it is in your highest self-interest to serve the Vaishnavas, because that will give you the recognition of Krishna, that yes, this person is truly my devotee. So in this way, you understand the best thing you can do for yourself is to serve Vaishnavas. Did Neil Armstrong ever go to the moon? Or is it just a myth? Actually, Prabhupada said so many things about the moon, that we went to the moon, we didn't go to the moon. We went to the planet Rahu. It was in Arizona. Prabhupada said so many different things in so many different situations. The point is, even if he went to the moon, what did we gain? That's the real point. And if he did go to the moon, he couldn't stay there. You see, just like you can get on an airplane, if the airline is a little spaced out, and you check in for the flight, and they let you on the flight without a visa, by accident, it happens sometimes. Somebody doesn't have a visa, and they have a ticket, but they don't have a visa. What happens when they arrive in the country? They put you in detention, and they send you on the next plane back to where you came from. You can land in the country, but you can't clear customs. So even if Neil Armstrong landed on the moon, which is debatable, he may have, he may not have, but he wasn't able to clear customs and remain there. You see, he had to come back. The point here, the moon is actually a heavenly planet, and there are beings on the moon. Our astronauts didn't see them because our astronauts don't have the proper eyes to see the moon beings. If you have a moon body, you can see the moon beings and you can be a part of their civilization, which is actually a very wonderful civilization. But all the astronauts reported was some rocks and some desert. You see? So if they did go to the moon, they weren't able to actually enter the moon civilization because they didn't have the proper eyes, ears, nose, etc. of a moon being to actually experience the moon civilization. It's like landing somewhere without a visa and they put you on the plane back, the next flight back, you see. Although we hear so many times that we should not waste this human form of life in sense gratification, but we are so conditioned by our nature, lifestyle, that we are not able to overcome our lethargy and complacency, how to address this problem, and utilize our time properly in Krishna's service. Well, I can tell you one thing, when it comes to earning your living, you're not lethargic and complacent. You work like a donkey to pay your rent, isn't it? Are you lethargic and complacent? Well, I don't think I'll go to work today. I'm just going to sit around and watch TV, you know. No, you get up and you go to work. I guarantee you. You hustle for the bucks, as we say in the U.S. You're not complacent for earning your livelihood. So, are you the body? Are you the soul? You're working so hard, you're not complacent about maintaining your material body. But if you're complacent about Krishna consciousness, that means you think that you're the body. So just remember, that body is only the external covering of the self. It's not the actual self. You're working so hard for your body and your family members' bodies. Don't be a stupid ass who forgets who he really is. You see, I'm the spiritual being within. Must the Tulsi leaves always be offered with food? Yes, that is the system. Always offering the Tulsi leaf. Now, if there's an emergency situation, there is no Tulsi leaf, you're traveling, you're flying to South America or something, and you have to make an offering, offer some fruit somewhere, and you don't have a Tulsi. Krishna can see the circumstances. But everyone who has, but we should all keep Tulsi leaves, keep a Tulsi plant, or be, everyone should sell the Tulsi plant so you can offer a Tulsi leaf along with your offering. That's the standard. How do we know the teachings given have not been changed like Chinese whispers? Well, one thing is we trust Prabhupada. We trust him. Prabhupada told us this has not changed. And we have complete faith in Srila Prabhupada. How do we know that Prabhupada's not lying? One could ask. Well, the proof of the pudding's in the eating. Because Prabhupada's teachings work. And you put it in simple two-word sentence, truth works. We actually know that Prabhupada, what he's saying is correct because it works. He says if you do this, you become completely purified and you will see Krishna face to face, eye to eye. And because you can actually do that, and you can actually see Krishna face to face, eye to eye, we know it's true because it works. His teachings work. Therefore, we know they're true. Someone asked me to prove the existence of karma. How to reply to that person? Take a tennis ball and throw it against the wall. See what happens. It bounces back. Where does a devout Christian Muslim Jew go after death if they were God conscious? Well, it depends on what is their God consciousness. If they were taking God as their order supplier because they wanted God to fulfill, this is true of a Christianite also. I'm not picking on the Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims. This is true of any religious person. If they take God as the order supplier, that God is someone to facilitate their sense gratification, they're not ready for the spiritual world yet. They're not ready. The person who is ready for the spiritual world is that person who has no desire except to serve the Lord's desire. He has no personal desires. Whether it's a Jew, a Christian, a Muslim, a Christianite, it's the same principle. How to concentrate and be steady in chanting and progress in Krishna consciousness, not able to control sleep? And he showed me a smiley with a frown. Well, the way to control sleep is set your alarm, set an alarm clock. If one doesn't work, set two. If that doesn't work, set three. Even if you need four alarm clocks, set four alarm clocks so you get up, or have somebody wake you up also. You have to just get up and go take a shower, and chant in the early morning hours, and do that every day, and that will make you steady. How to develop one-pointed devotion to the Supreme Lord only? Vivasayatmika buddhi eke kuru, as my mind is wavering to other demigods as well. You have to remember what is the position of the demigods. Just like it is stated in the Brahma Samhita. Shishti Sati Pralaya Sadhana Shakti Rekancha Yeva Yasha Bhuvanani Viburti Durga Ichchan Rupam Apicheshtate Sa Govindamadi Purusham Damaham Bhajami. The external potency Maya, who is of the nature of the shadow of the Chit potency, is worshipped by all people as Durga, the creating, preserving, and destroying agency of this mundane world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda in accordance with whose will Durga conducts herself. So if you study the authoritative scriptures, you will see the demigods are actually acting under the order of Krishna. What's so? They're just doing what Krishna tells them to do. So why would you want to report to some subordinate worker when you can go straight to the top man? You see? You understand my point? Let's say you're working for some corporation and someone says, I'm giving you a boon that you can have a wonderful relationship of total devotion and mutual appreciation with any employee, with anybody in this company. So an intelligent person, I'll do it with the boss then, the owner. Let me have that relationship with the owner of the company. Why you want to take it with some subordinate person? You understand? If you can have a first class, wonderful loving relationship with any member of that whole corporation, take it with the top men. Like if you work, you get a job for Apple and I had a special boon, I could have a special relationship with anybody here at Apple, well, I'll take it with Steven Jobs, you see. Because then I know I'm in good shape. You see what I'm saying? Boy, go to the top man. If you can have a special first class loving relationship with any person, go to the top man. That's intelligence. Why do you want to take some subordinate worker when you can have it with the top man? Because when you got it with the top man, nobody can mess with you. You're covered. You see? You take it with a lesser person, he can also get in trouble. And you're with him, you're in trouble with him. You go to the top man, nobody can mess with you. If you work with some company and you're intimate friends with the owner of the company, nobody can mess with you. If you're intimate friends with some lower level manager who can get laid off, what good is your friendship? He got laid off. He helped you get a position, but he got laid off and you got laid off with him. You see what I'm saying? Go to the top man. If you can have a loving relationship with the top man, that is intelligence. That is Krishna consciousness. How to always remember Krishna, ever forget Krishna, in such a busy day schedule. Offer your whole day in Krishna's service. My dear Lord, whatever comes today, by your grace, it all belongs to you. That's the key. Offer everything to Krishna. Don't claim anything for yourself. I work for the bank and the software is being used in the beef industry. Will I get karma? How can I overcome that? You have to use your money in Krishna's service and then you'll be okay. I'm speaking from experience. Previously, I was doing a little travel business to support our preaching center, selling tickets to India. It seems like, pretty karma-free type of thing. But then I realized that some of these people, actually most of the people were vegetarians. Most people who go to India are vegetarians. But a few of them were meat eaters. And I realized when I sold this airline ticket to them, I was selling the meat dinner that went with the ticket. So am I supposed to quit my job and have no income? No. Krishna says every endeavor is covered by some kind of fault. You see, in this material world, if you really minutely analyze any profession, at some level, it's contaminated. It's hard to find any job. Unless you're just preaching Krishna Bhakti, which is the supreme occupation. You see. But, so the key is, what do you do with the income? Now that doesn't mean everyone should go out and become butchers. Not to that extreme. You see. Stay as clean as possible in your profession. But every profession at some level will be some dirt. I mean, even you work for some company and you're helping the company to be successful, and on Christmas they have a meat dinner for all the employees. So actually you help to pay for that meat dinner just by working at that company. You see what I'm saying? It's very difficult to find it to be completely, absolutely clean in any profession. But if you will take the result and you use it for Krishna, take that money and see this is Krishna's money, and I want to spend it in a way that is pleasing to Krishna, and then you'll be okay. Why do Kshatriyas go for hunting and killing animals? The Kshatriyas in the former times were real Kshatriyas. Nowadays you don't have Kshatriyas. In the former time, the Kshatriya, Kshatriya means one who protects from harm. The Kshatriyas, if there was an enemy attack, the Kshatriyas would not sit in the White House and send the college students out to get slaughtered on the battlefield. The Kshatriya would be the first one out there. Just like there's one story from Rajasthan that the king went out to fight a battle with his soldiers, and he came back defeated to the palace. The queen said, "Lock the palace gate. Don't let him in. My husband would either die in the battle or come back victorious. If he doesn't come back victorious from the battle, he's not my husband. Don't let him in." That is Kshatriya, you see. So the Kshatriya had to be very expert in killing. That's his duty, to kill. When there's not as an aggressor, but as a protector. So to practice the killing art, they would go into the forest and they would kill the animals that are harassing the sages, like the tigers. So that is not sinful for a Kshatriya. That is his duty, to be an expert killer.
If you want, you can save the remaining questions for tomorrow. Because tomorrow is Q&A session.
We're running out of time? Okay, I've been notified that for those whose questions did not get answered, our apologies, and I will be answering them in the next class tomorrow morning. I'm sorry we've run out of time, and these questions are all very important. I don't consider them unimportant, but I will keep them very carefully tonight with me, and tomorrow morning I will answer them in the Bhagavatam class. And so what's this?
There's more questions.
More questions. This is wonderful. This is very nice. So many questions.
Tomorrow evening's program is question and answers only. So maybe we can save it for
us. Save them tomorrow. This will be for tomorrow evening. Where will it be held?
Just there, right. Same place, same time.
Same time, same place, same philosophy. Krishna consciousness. And these questions, tomorrow's night session is a question and answer session only. So I'll be speaking on these questions, and if you have any more between now and tomorrow night, write them down and bring them. And I won't give any lecture, it'll just be pure questions and answers tomorrow night. So that's good. So we'll stop here, and we thank you all very, very much for your participation in this Krishna consciousness movement. Please help us to turn this modern rascal society into a model society. This is our request. Dedicate your life to Krishna and help us to save the world. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.